The Burning Shore, the Courtney series, Book 4, written by Wilbur Smith and read by Sean Barrett.
So have I heard, on Afric's burning shore, a hungry lion give a grievous roar. William Barnes Rhodes, Bombastes Furioso, Scene 4. Michael awoke to the mindless fury of the guns. It was an obscene ritual, celebrated in the darkness before each dawn, in which the massed banks of artillery batteries on both sides of the ridges made their savage sacrifice to the gods of war. Michael lay in the darkness under the weight of 6 woolen blankets and watched the gunfire flicker through the canvas of the tent like some dreadful aurora borealis. The blankets felt cold and clammy as a dead man's skin, and light rain spattered the canvas above his head. The cold struck through his bedclothes, and yet he felt a glow of hope. In this weather they could not fly. False hope withered swiftly, for when Michael listened again to the guns, this time more intently, he could judge the direction of the wind by the sound of the barrage. The wind had gone back into the southwest, muting the cacophony, and he shivered and pulled the blankets up under his chin. As if to confirm his estimate, the light breeze dropped suddenly. The patter of rain on canvas eased and then ceased. Outside he could hear the trees of the apple orchard dripping in the silence. And then there was an abrupt gust, so that the branches shook themselves like a spaniel coming out of the water and released a heavy fall of drops onto the roof of the tent. He decided that he would not reach across to his gold half-hunter on the inverted packing case which acted as a bedside table. It would be time all too soon. So he snuggled down in the blankets and thought about his fear. All of them suffered under the affliction of fear, and yet the rigid conventions under which they lived and flew and died forbade them to speak of it, forbade them to refer to it in even the most oblique terms. Would it have been a comfort, Michael wondered, if last night he had been able to say to Andrew, as they sat with a bottle of whiskey between them discussing this morning's mission, "Andrew, I'm frightened gutless by what we are going to do." He grinned in the darkness as he imagined Andrew's embarrassment, yet he knew that Andrew shared it with him. It was in his eyes, and in the way the little nerve twitched and jumped in his cheek, so that he had constantly to touch it with a fingertip to still it. All the old hands had their little idiosyncrasies. Andrew had the nerve in his cheek and the empty cigarette holder, which he sucked like an infant's comforter. Michael ground his teeth in his sleep so loudly that he woke himself. He bit the nail of his left thumb down into the quick, and every few minutes he blew on the fingers of his right hand, as though he had just touched a hot coal. The fear drove them all a little mad, and forced them to drink far too much, enough to destroy the reflexes of normal men. But they were not normal men, and the alcohol did not seem to affect them. It did not dull their eyesight nor slow their feet on the rudder bars. Normal men died in the first 3 weeks. They went down flaming like fir trees in a forest fire, or they smashed into the doughy, shell-ploughed earth with a force that shattered their bones and drove the splinters out through their flesh. Andrew had survived 14 months, and Michael 11, many times the lifespan that the gods of war had allotted to the men who flew these frail contraptions of wire and wood and canvas. So they twitched and fidgeted and blinked their eyes and drank whiskey with everything, and laughed in a quick, loud bray, and then shuffled their feet with embarrassment, and lay in their cots at dawn, stiff with terror, and listened for footsteps. Michael heard the footsteps now. It must be later than he had realized. Outside the tent, Biggs muttered a curse as he splashed into a puddle, and his boots made obscene little sucking noises in the mud. His bullseye lantern glowed through the canvas as he fumbled with the flap, and then he stooped into the tent.
"Top of the morning, sir."
His tone was cheerful, but he kept it low, out of courtesy to the officers in the neighbouring tents who were not flying this morning.
"Wind has gone south-south-west, sir, and she's clearing something lovely, she is. Stars shining out over Combray."
Biggs set the tray he carried on the packing case and bustled about the tent, picking up the clothing that Michael had dropped on the duckboards the night before.